Hi guys, welcome to Ministry Guides. We are still speaking with our amazing Matika Hughes, who is the youth leader of City Church Beit Moresby. Matika has a tons of ideas and wisdom and experience that I believe is going to bless your life. So if you're listening to our podcast today or you're watching it on YouTube, you're welcome one more time. It's our passion to see you fulfilling your calling, and not just only that, but to make it easy, simple and fun for you. We believe that could happen. All right. So Matika, welcome back again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about how can a youth leader or a youth pastor father or mother a youth group or a youth? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's actually been really important for us in our ministry to really connect with the young people, because they had to know that we actually cared about them before they would start listening to anything that we had to say.
Yeah.
So to father and mother them, it's consistency is the biggest thing. So being there.
Because most youths come from a family where there's no consistency in parenting, isn't it?
Yeah. They can come from a home that might have a single parent, or maybe it's an abusive home, maybe drugs, alcohol. Like we see a lot of really broken homes within our youth ministry.
And when you say broken homes, are you talking about when a father and mother are separated or divorced and they have to share custody?
So
I've seen kids where they're having trouble in school because maybe one of the side of the parents is not always available for them, you know?
Mm.
They have a football, he or she is not there. There's no that consistency. Is that why you say that as a youth leader, there has to be a consistency?
Yeah. So, well, and different things too. Like some of the youth will be in foster care. So they're in the really hard period of their life being a teenager, and they're disconnected from their birth family for whatever reason. But we see all sorts of different families. But for us to have any kind of impact at all, we have to be consistent. They have to be able to know they can count on us.
Okay.
If they call us, I have a rule that if one of them call me, I do my very best to answer. So I will call them, I will answer their calls when I'm in the middle of something that I wouldn't answer a call for somebody else. I do my very best.
So consistency, make sure that you're always there for them. Because I remember when I came to your youth, there's this guy that came to me and he was talking about how there is like a war in the house because he's staying with his stepfather and the mom, and they always fight and stuff like that. For them to come to the youth and feel at home, it's an amazing thing that can happen to a youth leader.
Yeah.
For your youth to know that once I get to that place, I can at least forget all my troubles.
Yeah.
Can you please share, how can a youth leader make it more comfortable that the youth can find the youth night? Like, this is my house.
Safety. I've made a really big point of this needs to be a safe space for everyone. You walk in here, you are safe. We are responsible adults and we are mandatory reporters, which means if we see or hear something that we feel is putting them at risk or someone else at risk, then we will report what we need to. And they all understand that. And initially it was those boundaries, and we were consistent with our boundaries and follow through with our rules. So if there was something that did happen that was against the rules, you need to leave. We'll see you next week. We'll get you home safe, but we want you to come back next week. But just safety. So we pull them up if they're, you know, speaking down to each other, or even if they're doing it in fun, we say, no, we don't do that here. Say something nice. Encourage each other. Speaking life over each other.
Wow. So consistency we're talking about is not just being there. It also has to do with the area of discipline, where if you lay down rules, you follow it through.
Yeah.
Okay, so even though as a youth leader, you're always there, if you don't follow through your rules, what happened?
Oh, they don't take it seriously. If you're not going to follow through, then they just do whatever they want. And next minute we'll have vaping and we'll have fights and we'll have alcohol and you just lose control.
Yes.
And the boundaries, we're taking them out for a public stoning or something. It's the consequence. At the very most, I think I've sent someone home from youth early once. And that's it. Usually I can say, hey, look, we don't do that here. If you don't want to be here, that's okay. No one's making you be here. We want you here. But if you're here, you need to be a part of what we do here. And if that's not for you, that's okay. Mm. Feel free to head off.
For free, yeah.
But they always stay.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's the important part of discipline, you know?
Mm.
Sometimes we'll feel like when you lay down the rules, it's going to chase them away.
Yeah.
It's going to push them out. But literally, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite, yeah. The boundaries, yeah. It's, you know, and I always make sure I reinforce that I want you to be safe. Mm. And safety is not just a physical safety. It's an emotional safety. It's a spiritual safety. So no one's ever pushed to do anything or say anything that they're not comfortable with.
Mm.
It's just consistent with boundaries, being present. And I found for being in the position I'm in, previously when I was in a youth team, it was a larger youth and I was very active in coordinating things and helping keep an eye on things and make sure everyone's doing the right thing.
Mm.
But I didn't spend a lot of time actually connecting with the young people.
Okay.
Whereas now I spend 95% of my time is having conversations with them. How are you? How was your week?
Mm.
Acknowledging them individually and just like looking the boys in the eye. Hey, how was your week? How are you?
Okay.
And all of a sudden they feel seen.
Oh, wow.
If I do that week after week,
okay.
And now they will go, oh, it was pretty tough. So, oh, do you want to talk about that?
Oh.
And they often do.
Wow. Literally building a connection with the youth is important.
So important. They feel seen.
Yeah.
And if I can show that I see them, when I say Jesus sees you, that holds so much more weight.
Oh, wow. That's... that is wisdom there, okay? That is wisdom there. Is there any way a youth leader can be of help to the parent? Oh. I said the youth is going through troubles, of course. And the parent also, they have their own challenges, right?
Mm.
That can, of course, a lot of challenges where it can affect the availability of the youth at the youth night and stuff like that.
Mm.
But how do you think the youth leader or a senior pastor, whoever, can be of help to the parent?
I think it depends on what their need is.
Mm.
But I'm really blessed in our church. It's a small church at the moment, but very active in outreach in the community. So I know that if I've heard from a teenager that they don't have any food for the week, then I can let my pastors know and they will often put together, we've got like a little food store and they'll put together a package and then I'll say, hey, I'm going to drop you home and we're going to take this and just give it to the family and bless them.
Oh, wow.
As a youth pastor kind of position, I'm also very mindful that we want the youth to feel safe, like I said, and there's a lot of trust that's involved in that. And so I always tend to advocate for the youth. So if they're having a hard time, I'm there to support them.
Mm.
I don't have a whole lot to do with the families, and that's just the situation with the kids that we have. We don't have church families in our youth group. But there have been times where there's been parents who have been having a hard time and I've spoken with them on the phone and prayed with them.
Mm.
But there's been other times where, like I mentioned in the last time we caught up, where I sent all of them home from a conference for vaping.
Mm.
And I called each and every parent to let them know that they were coming home early.
Okay.
But I had to be very careful. I didn't want to get any of them in trouble, knowing that some of them come from abusive homes.
Yeah.
So this delicate balance of I need to let your parents know that something has happened, but I'm not going to say that you were actively involved.
Yeah.
Just trying to protect them in a couple of different ways.
Yes.
Tricky.
Yes. So I want to point it out again. She said for a youth leader, a youth pastor to father a youth, there has to be consistency. You know, you have to show up. They need to be able to trust you. You need to build trust also. Like if they can't trust you, then you have no youth. All right. These are young people. Some of them actually come from a good family.
Yeah, okay, so absolutely.
So maybe your youth come from a good family and stuff, but you need to be consistency. There has to be discipline. They need to know that you really care about them. Even though if they get into trouble and stuff like that, you discipline them. It's in a way where they know that it's because you really love them.
Mm. Okay?
And also supporting their family. Let's say they don't have food and stuff. I advocate, you know, you talk to your senior pastor. So a youth leader communicates to the senior pastor. on what is going on in the youth.
Always. Accountability is so important to me, and my senior pastors are
amazing.
The most incredible support. Yes. I could not do without them.
Absolutely. Now, you also have experience. You also work in a disability sector.
Mm.
And you're a trainer and stuff like that. Can you please share with us which range of experience that you have with disabilities and also with youth leadership and stuff like that? How can a youth pastor, a youth leader, support a youth with disability?
That's a great question. And I may not have a black and white answer for that question. It's going to depend on the person. So I'm 14 years in the disability service sector this year.
Wow.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But everyone is so different.
Mm.
So I think a really key thing is understanding what the disability is.
Yeah.
So if you, let's say, and as an example, there's someone who has autism, which is very common, and now people actually are aware of autism, so it's more spoken about. There's going to be different things that you can do to support that person that you would do to support someone who uses a wheelchair, for example.
Okay.
So let's say someone in a wheelchair, you want to make sure that they can get in the building to start with, that they have bathrooms that they can use, that they can actually access and fit their chair in. So it's around that physical environment.
Mm.
Someone with autism is going to find a lot of, it's usually a sensory overload.
Okay.
So if we've got our flashing lights going and our worship going at the same time, and we've also got people talking, and we've got, you know, even just the different instruments, different sounds, people with autism can often hear all of those sounds at the same time. Whereas you and I might be able to filter out sounds, so we can focus on this conversation. But someone with autism can also hear the washing machine going behind the wall and the person talking next door and the dog barking down the street, all at the same kind of level.
Oh, wow.
So it becomes very overwhelming very quickly.
Yeah.
So you might be able to have a quiet space that maybe it's got dimmed lights where if they need to go and just regulate and just have a quiet space for a while, that they can do that safely.
Oh, wow.
So that's just one example.
Yes. That's a good one. Definitely, it's one thing that we don't really consider as a youth leader when you have somebody with disability. Like what you just shared now, the lights, the sound, I didn't even know anything about it before. Like, My idea was maybe we'll find something that they can do that they will really engage with.
Right.
But it's never come to my mind that there could be a distractions or there could be something that really trouble them. And as a youth leader, you want your youth night to really be impactful.
Yeah.
You want everybody to come to the youth and be blessed and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, checking all those stuff I got something. So I got something. Now, when it comes to games, right?
Yeah.
We play games at the youth.
We do.
Most of the people with disability don't have the same opportunity to play those games with us. How can a youth leader be able to incorporate a youth with disability with all the games and everything that is going on?
Yeah. I think, again, it will depend on the person and what the disability actually is.
Okay.
But it's always good to have a variety of different games. So you might have a physical game where people can get in and be strong and whatever. Have an intellectual game, so like some trivia or something that people can be a part of.
Yeah.
Or if you take the time to get to know the person and find out something they really like or something they're really good at, because people might just go, oh, it's too hard. But take the time to get to know them and you might find that you've actually got a maths genius in your youth group. And you go, cool, we're going to make some challenges that we know this person is going to have a chance to really succeed and be one of the group here and help a team win and then make an awesome prize or,
Wow, amazing. Well, I think that's just for today. You have heard it from the mouth of the woman who have actually went through all this stuff and she's still leading and she can tell you the road has been really rough, as she said before, but glory be to God, she's still standing. And she has some amazing kids in her youth, and I can tell you that I've been there myself, and I was just blown away to see what you guys are doing in Batesmoor Bay.
Can I just say one more thing too?
Yes, please.
just to encourage people that youth ministry is often looked at as the ministry that you do in training for real ministry. Like big church is the real ministry, but it's not.
It's not.
It is so, so important.
Yeah.
Youth ministry, through our youth ministry, our church has been donated a bus. Someone saw what we were doing on a Friday night. Another church, we were borrowing a church from a different denomination, their bus, and they just gave it to us. They said, we can see what you're doing with your youth. We want you to have this. So now we can get our kids home safe every single week. If someone's stranded, we can pick them up. Youth ministry is just as important as the overall church ministry. It's not like just, it's a great training ground, yes. And we take on young people, and often the young adults get a lot of training in youth ministry, but it is just as important as the overall bigger church.
Yeah, just like the way they say is that youth are the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you don't build the leaders now, who is going to become the leaders?
Yeah.
And okay, so before we pray, I just remember these questions now. Like, the youths that are coming to your youth night, are they part of your church, or do they go to someone else's church?
No. So they don't. They don't go to church.
They don't go to church at all?
No. No, they only come to our youth, which actually a lot of them say, oh, this is my church.
Oh, wow.
This is how, and our church movement do view our Friday night as a service. So they are counted towards as part of our church.
Okay.
But they, only come to the Friday nights at the moment.
When it also comes to developing their gift and talent and stuff, do you have anything that you guys have implemented to help in that area?
Yeah, basically, if we see that someone's interested in anything, if you, say, pick up a guitar, we're like, you should come to band practice, the church band practice, which is also church prayer meeting night. And that's where, the church, more church adults are, and they get to meet and integrate. And then we've had three of them now just recently who have started coming regularly to our church.
Worship practice and prayer meetings.
Wow.
And so we're finally seeing. So at some point they will probably ask to play at church. And I see that's where we're going to start to bring our young people in. Because once you get a handful of them there, their friends are going to want to come and see them lead worship or play drums or whatever that may be.
Yes.
It's just finding where we can integrate them in a way that is meaningful for them as well.
Yes, yes. Before, but can we just tell our viewers, what is the role of a youth leader? Just for everybody to see, so that if you are taking on too much of responsibilities, you know that you're out of the way. Or if you're not doing what you are called to do, you know that you're also out of the way. Just,
I'm really big on, I encourage my team to look at their spiritual gifts. I want to know, where are you called? What's your gift in? Because let's utilize that. Let's train you and let's see you do that. Some people are not called to youth ministry. And if you're someone who just finds teenagers really annoying or really dumb and they say these new words that make no sense, and, if it's not your calling, it's not your calling. And that's okay, because you're probably called somewhere else. And if you are here trying to lead teenagers that you can't stand, probably better just step out. And I would encourage people as well, don't keep going to youth ministry if you're in that place. Don't come there with a bad attitude. Don't come there carrying any of that, because you're actually then making it harder for the rest of the team. And you bring that atmosphere and that spirit with you of what is a lot harder to make any progress in that environment.
Wow.
Find where you're called.
Right.
Even if you feel like it's going to leave the team short, God will bring the right person on at the right time. You don't know what you moving into your calling is going to open up for the youth ministry that helps it grow as well.
Yeah.
And also, can just let me ask you, can a older person, like maybe like 45, 50, solo in that age, need a youth?
Absolutely.
Really?
I don't know why there's some sort of thing around only young people can be youth pastors or do youth ministry.
Yeah, because I feel like because they're young, they know what's going on, they can help. Right.
I know I can still do it when my 40s. It's someone who is more mature and who can step into that that mother or father, that spiritual environment is such an asset, because when we are looking at young people who come from homes where they don't feel loved or seen or heard, someone a bit older who takes the time to go to me, like that, it holds a different weight.
You know, it's so funny because all of these are very much in my head. Just like, since it's a youth pastor, it has to be a youth. You're not a youth, but you know that. You know what I mean? Young adults who knows what is going on in the world. It's very hippie, you know, all those stars. But I was really surprised to see somebody that I know, who is called out personally, is leaning into youth. I was like, my goodness, what are you doing?
It's a calling, though. God calls you, he equips you, and you're there for a reason.
And it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. There's a quote by John C. Maxwell, is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you show them that you care, you are here, and then they will, at some point, the trust will be there and you can speak out all the wisdom that you hold and into their world.
Wow, amazing.
It's like, God's so cool.
Amazing. I was just going to pray for you now. If you're listening to us, be encouraged. We believe that God has called you in a time like this, and we just want to pray for you. And Matika, would you like to pray?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for this opportunity to reach out to youth pastors and youth leaders, or someone who thinks maybe they're being called into youth ministry in some way. I just pray that whoever needs to hear this, hears this, and that you would just guide them on their path, Lord. I speak out blessings upon them, and I pray for just clarity of each step that they need to take in a way that is going to reach the young people for you, for your name, and for your kingdom, Lord, that they don't have to sit within what's always been done, because that's how we do it, but that they can shake things up, do it differently, think outside the box. I just thank you, Lord, for the impact that can happen in young people's lives. And I thank you for the plans that you have for the youth ministries, and that you see it as real business. This isn't just a stepping stone. I just pray you bless youth pastors and youth leaders around the country. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Matika, for coming in and sharing your thought and your experience. We love you, and we'll be interviewing you in the future. We hope you make yourself.
Absolutely.
So if you're joining on for the first time, or you're not subscribed to our channel, go on to YouTube, subscribe to our channel, press the notification bell so that you can get the notification that there's a new episode whenever we release it. And also go on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, SoundCloud, everywhere. We are everywhere. Wherever your platform is, we are there. So just subscribe to our channel and make sure that you share this episode with a youth leader or a senior pastor that needs it. Okay. We love you, and thank you for watching us today. God bless you.